Many of us said as children, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never hurt me. And yet speech can be a problem and be unwise. Therefore, let us study the wisdom of speech and silence in the book of Proverbs.
It's time now for the program Proverbs, a Blueprint for Living, with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
Hello, the peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, a Jesuit priest and professor at Loyola University in Chicago. And in this series on the Proverbs, the Blueprint for Living According to God, we'd like to take a look now at the issue of speech and how we use our mouths and our tongues, and what are some of the wise reflections and the foolishness that people have observed in the Bible about the use of the mouth and tongue. Now, one of the problems that is mentioned over and over again in regard to speech is the use of slander and the use of communication that is meant to harm other people, and how this is said we not to do this. Open up to Proverbs chapter 6, if you would. And we're going to begin with verse 12. A human, a person of depravity, a man of iniquity, is one who walks around with a mischievous mouth. All right, and that's a lot right there. That whoever misuses speech, who has a mischievous mouth, is a person of complete depravity. And we cannot underestimate how powerful speech can be to destroy people. When you think of somebody like Adolf Hitler, who did not start off as a great, powerful man physically, but he was powerful in the mouth. And he'd go around stirring up hatred and causing all sorts of mischief, and became a man of complete depravity by slandering the Jewish people, the gypsies, the Poles, the church. Anybody that he could pick as a convenient target, he would slander and say horrible things. And he became a depraved man, and those who followed him became depraved people along with him. The same kind of thing can go on in other societies when people like the Ku Klux Klan will say things about people for race or religion or any other depraved kind of behavior by misuse of speech and mischievous mouth. The section goes on in verse 13. The one who winks his eye, that scrapes with his feet, that points with his fingers, for there is perversity in his heart continually, and he sows discord. Now what's going on here? Sometimes people will use speech to be mischievous and to cause havoc, but there are also ways to speak or to communicate silently. You can sort of say, you know, give a wink of the eye, say, oh yeah, I know what you're up to, or use that as a signal, and there'd be a signal that you might use to somebody and say, you know, point to them like that, and make fun of them, and make them look like a fool. And if these kind of silent signals are just as perverse and devious in the hands of somebody who is arrogant that as speeches, and can help bring down somebody who is innocent. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, and suddenly he shall be broken and be without remedy. So this person may think that they're doing all right, and they can speak all sorts of things, but just like Hitler had brought calamity not only on himself, but also on the whole German nation, so also will anybody else who uses speech for mischief bring down calamity upon himself or herself. Another section that's related to this is in verses 16 through 19, which gives a list of seven things that God finds hateful. Let's take a look at some of them. There's six things which Yahweh hates, seven which are an abomination to him. They like to use as much typical wisdom literature to say six and then seven when they really mean seven. Just like we say, oh, two or three, a couple, two, three things. That's what they're kind of doing this style. Starting. The haughty eyes and a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked things and wicked thoughts, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and whoever sows discord among families, among brothers. Now, notice how many of these have to do with speech. Haughtiness, arrogance, pride is usually the source, and we say that that's the source of sin, to be prideful. Say, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do what I feel like. But then from that pride, people will think out wicked thoughts, and then they got to say them. The arrogant cannot be silent. They won't just shut up, but they go out and tell their arrogance to everybody else, and they cause trouble as a result. They'll tell lies. It seems ridiculous, but people will actually devise lies in order to get other people in trouble. And they'll tell lies that help to shed innocent blood. Now, here they're talking especially about problems that take place in the court of law, where if you perjure somebody, you actually can bring them down to their death. And that kind of perjury is wrong. And a heart that devises wicked thoughts, or the feet that are swift to run evil, some people only think and then just hurry up to do evil. Well, false witnesses breathe out lies, and they sow discord among their brothers and bring about disorder in family. How many times have people told lies about family members and said things that were not true and caused enmity that lasted forever? I know of a mother who had set one child against the other and just to keep them both off guard for her inheritance, and she got them both to dislike each other. Well, these are a few of the kind of things that take place with speech. And in the Proverbs, there are many, many, many Proverbs that deal with the issue of speech. Let's open up to as many as we can in this section and look at, starting with chapter 10, where the short two-line Proverbs begin. Now, chapter 10 has quite a few verses itself on the issue of speech. Good speech and false speech. Let's open up to chapter 10, verse 11. This is a beautiful proverb. It says, the mouth of the righteous person, of the tzaddik, the person who is upright, is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Now, this is meant to be an observation on life, and it doesn't tell you what to do about it. It just observes. When a person is morally righteous, their mouth is a fountain of life. The words that they speak are able to give life to those around them and help other people and help make sense out of life for other people, because they themselves are righteous and their righteousness bubbles out like a spring. And in Israel, springs and fountains are so important because life of a city depends entirely on one spring. Jerusalem is such an old city, and Jericho is such an ancient city, 9,000 years old for Jericho, and a good 3,000, 4,000 years for Jerusalem, because they have one spring from which water comes and keeps them alive. So it is with the mouth of those who are righteous, that their mouth comes up with so many good things. But those who are wicked, those who are immoral, will conceal violence and cause it to break out. We're going to come back and look at more of the Proverbs on the issue of speech, so please stay with us. Welcome back. We're taking a look at the use of speech according to the book of Proverbs. If you'd open up to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13, let's take a look and see the difference between the wise and the fool. On the lips of the one who is understanding, wisdom is found. Now, what does that mean? That the person who is understanding, who's able to look at what's going on in life and take it apart and make sense out of it. To see what are the inner workings of what happens between husband and wife, what's going on between children, how people work, how men are different from women and how they relate to each other. The one who takes time to sit and meditate on this and understand it will be able to have wisdom found on their lips. They'll just speak out wise things because they do understand the things that are going on around them. They're not space cadets, but they're aware of what's happening. However, on the other side, we see this going on with the proverb. But the rod is for the back of him who is void of understanding. Now, that's what they talk about for the one who doesn't understand. The rod, the beating. Now, they're not child abuse. They were probably a little more rough on children than we are in our society. But what they are saying is that a person who is a fool does not understand what's going on. And so the only way to motivate such a person is to be able to beat them. They're like animals. They don't understand reason. What the book of Proverbs would like us to do is be reasonable and be motivated by reason. But if that won't work, then you got to hit them. Now, that's not the goal of life, to hit people, but it's sometimes necessary if they're going to be fools and be lacking of understanding. The next proverb we want to take a look at is in verse 14, the next one. The sages, the wise people, lay up or set up treasures of knowledge, but the mouth of the fool is a nearby or close at hand destruction. Now, this is a good way to deal with or start looking at the role of speech. That wise people are able to store up knowledge. They're able to make sense out of lots of facts. They don't just let facts go over their heads and just pass them by, but they store them up. They treasure them up. What does that mean? On one hand, it means gathering the different bits of information and knowledge around us and putting it into order, putting it into some sort of a sensible way of viewing the world. And perhaps the sages, the wise, don't know all what's happening at once. That's all right. That's no problem. But what the sages do is they organize their knowledge. They see, oh, this is connected, and this one is connected, and this is connected. Perhaps you can find, therefore, a pattern. It's like what we're doing here. We're looking for the pattern of proverbs that deal with speech. And sages are able to make these patterns. That's what we're all supposed to do. All of us are to be sages. And to look at our experience and see, how is it that my wife acts? When I come home late and dinner is cold, it makes her upset. There's a pattern here. And I can grow and become wise from that knowledge, rather than just react to it. Or when I see that my child, my son, is this way or my daughter is that way, when I respond to her, when I ignore her, when I just lay too high an expectation, there's a pattern here. And I can begin to notice the pattern if I'm wise. And if I'm wise, then I can learn from that knowledge and make sense out of it. But the mouth of the fool is a nearby destruction or ruin, that they just say anything that comes to their mouths. They just say whatever is on their head, in this and then right out here, and they can bring about destruction because they're so impetuous with their speech. It's like what people said during World War II, loose lips sink ships. The kind of things that fools say will help to bring destruction about for other people. Now, something similar is in verse 18 of chapter 10. The one who hides hatred is of lying lips, and he who utters a slander is a fool. Now that's an interesting set of parallels, isn't it? We see here on one hand, if you hide hatred, you have lying lips. In other words, who are they talking about? The person who hates somebody else. If you have some neighbor that you cannot stand, but when you see it, you act real nice. Oh, yes, it's so nice to see you, real pleasant. Sort of like Eddie Haskell in Leave It to Beaver. He'd be real nice to Beaver so long as Beaver's mother was around. But as soon as she went, then all of a sudden he'd be real mean to him, say, get out of here, squirt. and so on. Well, that kind of sliminess and smarminess that we saw with the character Eddie Haskell is what's being spoken of here. And they're saying that if you have this hatred and can't stand somebody, it would be better for you to talk to the person instead of acting all real nice and real pleasant, that's nice, and then talk behind their back later on. You're a liar if you conceal that hatred. And then also on the other side, but if you utter a slander, if you go around saying bad things, even of people you hate or people you like, it doesn't matter. If you go around saying the things that they did and commit slander against them, you become a fool. Now, slander is a very serious sin, and it's very difficult to undo. Because if you have told, well, I happen to know that she was fooling around, and I have all the dirt, and you go around telling people what's true, how can you deny it? And their reputation is ruined. Wisdom very frequently means that you have to keep silence about something you know, especially bad things about people, or if you have real wisdom and understanding, go to the person yourself and address them so that they can change their life instead of just talking behind their backs or talking about them. Also, the next proverb, verse 19 of chapter 10, deals with something else that relates to the issue of speech. In the multitude of words, there is no transgression lacking, but he who refrains his lips is wise. Now, one of the things that, what are they saying here? Some people who talk too much, people who go around gabbing all over the place, people who like to spend all sorts of time at the gossip fence are people who will bring about transgression. If you talk so much, you're going to bring about sin. You're going to cause sin for yourself and for other people. However, the person who is wise holds back from speech. They don't say everything that comes to mind. The wise person is able to have a sense of the effect of their speech on other people. There are lots of times I come across people who are, committing sin, and there are times when I don't say something to them. You know, the situation is such that I can't. Not that I don't want to, but I have to hold back and wait for a moment, perhaps when they're away from somebody else, when they're away from the crowd. I had a recent case of a person who was talking about theft and dishonest behavior with money. And so I couldn't say anything there. He was laughing about it. He was mocking, people who are honest. And I couldn't say anything there and then. He wouldn't have listened. You have to use some discernment. But I was able to take him aside quietly and privately and address him then. Not because I wanted to make him look like a fool in public, but I want to make sure that I talk to him and help to bring him around to what's right. We're going to look at some more of the Proverbs on speech in just a moment. So please stay with us. Welcome back. As we talk about speech and wisdom in the book of Proverbs, we're still in chapter 10. There's so much about speech in Proverbs right here. If we take a look at chapter 10, verse 20, where it says, the tongue of the righteous is like precious silver. The heart of the wicked is like nothing. Now, think about that a second. What an image. Just the tongue. That one organ, which, I don't know if you all like it, but my grandmother used to make fantastic beef tongues. She would take and put that in a pressure cooker, cook it down so good, and make it as tender as can be. But one of the reasons she learned how to cook tongue is because it was so cheap. It's very inexpensive meat. And you think of the tongue, it's not the most prominent organ of the body or anything. And it's really the heart that's the deepest, the most important organ. The mind. That's what the Israelites meant by the heart, the mind. And that should be what's really precious. But here, he's saying the tongue of the righteous, the tongue of the person who is morally upright, is like choicest silver. Even just that one extreme. If that's silver, how much must be in their mind, in their heart? However, the heart of the wicked is nothing. It's not. It's empty. It's like nothing at all. It's very little. Even the most deep and precious part of that person is like nothing. And that we have to make sure that our mouth is like silver. And that will come only when our heart is gold and filled with righteousness. Now, another verse is in verse 21, in which it says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but the foolish die for want of understanding." Now, this also shows the power of good speech versus the power of wicked speech. The lips of the righteous feed many. Here, it's not just those who are wise, but those who are morally upright and wise as well. That they are able to speak in a way that helps other people to eat. In other words, it's like a father who can motivate the family to work together so that we can all eat. Now, in this society where everybody lived on farms, or most everybody lived on farms in ancient Israel, that everybody had to work, children all the way on up. And a good leader, like a good father and a good mother, will be able to speak righteousness to help feed everybody, motivating them to do what's right. The same thing in our own culture. A person who is a righteous speaker, someone who speaks the truth in morality, who speaks the truth in good behavior, is able to feed many people. Think of somebody like Dr. Martin Luther King, who is able to speak words about righteousness and words that would call people to really good justice among the races. And this man was able to help change the life of millions since him. And that's the power of any of us. If we use righteousness, righteous speech, we can help other people's lives and transform them and feed them. However, that's not the case with the person who is a fool. The fool dies himself because he lacks understanding. The fool doesn't understand how to live, how to feed himself. And if we don't take time to reflect on how we speak, our words can bring us, you know, I know of people who, because of the foolishness they speak, have lost jobs and have gone hungry because of foolishness. We have to use our speech well and carefully. Now, another set of Proverbs that deal with the issue of speech appear in chapter 12. Let's open up to chapter 12, verse 6. Actually, there are more Proverbs than that, but I wish I could get to them all. There's just too many that deal with speech. "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." This is a similar theme. One of the issues that's going on with the Proverbs is that they're saying that if you are wicked, your words will try to find blood. Well, that is, will try to bring murder, will try to kill people. However, the mouth of the upright will deliver themselves, that they'll be able to get out of their trouble because of their own speech. This is something that we have to reflect on ourselves. How often we know that we're going to be in situations that are difficult. And what we have to do, at least something that I find necessary for myself, is I need to go before the Lord and I need to take time to pray. And as I take that time to listen and think about, what is it that God would want me to speak here? Before I get into a crisis situation, or for instance, before you go in to speak to your spouse or your children about a problem in the family, you have to sit down and think out your words. Think ahead of time. How is this going to be heard? How is this going to be said? And as we do that, we can help not bring about blood and disaster and disorder, but instead we can help bring about peace in our families. Also, in chapter 12, we take a look at verse 13. "In the transgressions of the lips is a snare to the evil person, but the righteous comes out of trouble." The same kind of idea, that those who are evil are going to keep getting themselves into more traps through their speech, while those who are righteous are able to save themselves. It's so important for us to learn the correct speech. It's so important for us to learn not to slander and not to cause trouble with our words, but rather to do that which is good. Something that's related to this But, you know, in one sense, the other side of it that's key for our family life is found in chapter 18, verse 13. Anyone who gives an answer or returns an answer before he hears is folly and becomes folly and confusion to him. Now let's take a listen to that. If you speak before you listen, if you give an answer before you've heard the other person, it becomes foolishness and calamity. Now, I know of this as so big an issue in families, where people get into an argument and they won't listen to the other side. They're not listening to their spouse or to their children or to their parents. They're thinking of the next thing they're going to say. And they're so defensive and so afraid that they might lose the argument that they don't pay attention to somebody else before they speak. What's the result of not listening to somebody else and not heeding their words? We become fools. We become people of calamity. Let's make sure we listen, reflect, learn to understand before we speak so that we can give life. God bless you. Thank you.